good to see you today in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, let's turn together to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, and we'll begin this morning at verse 33, Matthew 12, 33. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll look here at verse 33. The Bible says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Let's bow our heads. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the clearness of your word and how easy it is to understand. And Father, we just pray that you'd open our hearts and help us, Lord, to bring your word in that we can understand it and apply it to our life. And then, Father, just help us to grow from this. And we ask this, Lord, in Christ's holy name. Amen. You know, when we lived over in the other side of Greenwood, we had a peach tree. Was that a peach tree, Denise, in the backyard? I don't really know what kind of tree it was because it produced peaches, but they were nasty. And you really couldn't eat them. They were disgusting. And if there was ever what I would call a corrupt tree, that was a corrupt tree. And it really just took up space. And it did produce some kind of fruit, but it just drew in bugs, nasty bugs. And then when you tried to mow around it, it was just a nasty mess all the time. And so, something strange happened to that tree. Somehow a saw got put to it and it fell over. I don't know, but it was a bad deal. Anyways, that tree came up missing one day. But, you know, Jesus here is talking about these trees, you know, and about two types of trees. And what I love about this text is how you're going to notice that Christ always deals in absolutes. And you'll notice that in the Scriptures. That's how the Lord deals with us. There's always, it's in absolutes. Notice, there's not five types of trees. There's not 10 types of trees. But there's only two types of trees. It's real simple. There's only two types of trees. Jesus said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. So you notice with the Lord, there's no middle ground. It's either one or the other. Either it's a good tree or it's a bad tree. And it's so simple. And Paul is kind of, our brother Paul is kind of in Sunday school talking about stuff like this. But, you know, I'm kind of going ahead. But when I look in Revelation and I go to chapter 3 and I look at verse 15, I kind of notice it's simple. Jesus is how he always deals with us. It's in absolutes. Revelation 3:15, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." You notice there Jesus said, I would rather you be cold or hot, be one or the other. But if you're going to be lukewarm, I'm going to absolutely reject you. In fact, in the same text, we're in Matthew chapter 12. If you just go back up to verse 30, listen to what Jesus said. "He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." And they're very simple. Jesus says you're on either one side or the other. Either you're gathering with him or you're scattering against him. And that's really, our lives are doing one of two things. Either our lives and the things that we do, either we're gathering with Christ or we're scattering against Christ. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38, Jesus said this, "He that is not against us is on our part." So it's either one or it's the other. In Luke chapter 16 verse 13, Jesus said this, No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it's either one or the other. And when it comes to these absolutes, I go back to Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Here's the choice that was given to Israel. If it seemed evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whom the land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there you see a choice is being given. Either serve God or don't serve God. But there's one thing you and I do not have the option of, is we can't halfway serve God. We can't part-time serve God. Either you fully serve the Lord or you don't serve God. Because part-time service is no service. Partial obedience is complete disobedience, is what the Bible is telling us. Either we're on the Lord's side or we're not on the Lord's side. Even Elijah, one of my favorite prophets, said this in the 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" Notice that again, two opinions, not five, not ten, but two. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So you notice there that there's a choice that's laid before us, that you and I must make a decision whether we're going to serve the Lord or not serve the Lord. And the Bible is showing us that we've got to make this decision and we've got to go all in. You've got to either follow God or not follow the Lord. You've got to follow Christ or not follow Him. You either make the tree good or you make the tree bad. But you can't have a partial tree. A partial tree is a bad tree. A tree can't be a partially good tree and a partially bad tree. It's either good, completely good, or it's completely bad. And so Christ is compelling us to sell out, make a decision. Either serve Christ and follow Him with all your heart and surrender yourself to Him, or don't serve Him. But you have to make a choice in your life. So we cannot claim Christ and walk in sin. That is a contradiction. We must choose. So you notice, again, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by its fruits. So what you'll notice in verse 33 is our words and our actions display what we really are. That we produce fruit. Our lives produce fruit. You and I are trees, what the Bible says. You are a tree. And some of y'all, I can tell you right now, are better looking trees than others. But that doesn't matter. See, that's my way of getting a free insult in, Brother David. You see that? But see, we're all trees. And we're producing fruit with our lives. And that's what the Bible says. And here's what Jesus said about the tree you are. Now, isn't it nice? Jesus don't care what you look like. That's the good thing. He don't care how ugly this preacher is. He still loves the tree. But notice this. A tree is always known by what? It's fruit. Now there's the key to what the whole passage is about. For the tree is known by his fruit. Listen to this, church. Regardless of what the tree says, a tree is known by its fruit. Now the tree can tell you it's an orange tree. Or it can tell you it's a banana tree. It can tell you whatever it wants to tell you. It can say whatever it wants to say. But what is the determining factor, what kind of tree it is. Not what it tells you, but what kind of fruit it produces. Now, a tree can look like any kind of tree it wants to look like. It may look like a banana tree, and it may look like an apple tree, and it may look like a peach tree. It may look like any kind of tree it wants to look like. But what's the determining factor? Not what it looks like, but what determines what kind of tree it is, did Jesus say? So there's Christians out there, or so-called Christians, they'll tell you that I'm this and I'm that. But the determining factor is not what they say, it's what their life produces, the fruit they produce. And it's not even what they look like. They may look like this, and they may show themselves to be one thing. They may show themselves that, hey, I do this and I look like this. But what does their life produce? What they produce is what they really are. And that is the fact that you cannot escape from. You are the fruit you produce. I can't escape that, and you cannot escape that. We are what we produce. What kind of fruit are you producing with your life? Because Jesus said, for the tree is known by his fruit. This is not the first time we've seen Jesus say this, by the way. If I go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, same book, Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now Jesus said, you're not going to know them by what they say. You're not going to know them by how they look. But you're going to know them by their fruits. You're going to know them by their fruits. So we've got to ask ourselves, this calls all of us in this room, all of us, to bring ourselves into self-examination. And we've got to step back and look at our lives and ask ourselves, what kind of fruit is my life producing? Is it producing good fruit or bad fruit? Because that determines what kind of tree I am. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, the Bible says this, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and unto the end everlasting life. You know, when you get saved and come to Christ, the Bible says there's a fruit that you're going to produce, and it's holiness. You know, there's a fruit of holiness, that's a separation from sin. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect. None of us are perfect. But there's a fruit that your life will produce. It's a pursuit of holiness, that you want to live right and do right and seek after God. But there's another kind of fruit too. It says, for when we were in the flesh, Romans 7, 5, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So there's another kind of fruit there. So you'll notice there Jesus is talking about these two trees. Now notice in verse 30 and 34 now, Matthew 12:34, he's going to talk about two treasures. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So you have these two trees. But now Jesus is talking about two treasures and two hearts. And he begins by saying, O generation of vipers. Now who is he talking to here? He's talking to the Pharisees. Now he's talking to the Pharisees. Now if you look in this chapter, go to verse 22. And the Pharisees are the ones that are talking to Christ, and they make an accusation against Christ. Look at verse 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, inasmuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? And they're right. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought into desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore, I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So Jesus here is referring to the Pharisees. Now, what they did was Jesus did a work of God. He healed a man possessed of the devil. He cast out a demon, and they said that he did it by the power of the devil. That's what they accused him of. And Jesus said, that's crazy. He says, the devil can't be divided against himself. Well, anyways, he called them here, O generation of vipers. Now, it's interesting he called them a generation of vipers. Viper is a very deadly snake, a poisonous snake. Now, if you go back to Matthew chapter 3, listen to the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, this is going to sound very familiar. Notice the resemblance to what John the Baptist told these Pharisees. The Pharisees wanted to be baptized of John the Baptist. Listen to what he told them in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 7. Matthew 3, 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. You know, it's interesting there. There's the third time in this book we've seen the reference to good trees and bad trees, good fruit and bad fruit. There's a third time. So that's a point that the Lord wants us to get from this book about good fruit and bad fruit. But there's a rebuke that they received. So in verse 34, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So here's what Jesus is saying, is whatever is in your heart is what is going to come out of your mouth. Now, have you ever heard somebody say that they've got a filthy mouth? That person's got a dirty mouth. They really don't have a dirty mouth. What's the real problem? They've got a dirty heart. See, your mouth and my mouth is only going to reveal what's in our hearts. And by the way, your mouth will always reveal what's in your heart. You can't escape it. Now, you might try to suppress it for a while, but eventually what's in your heart will overflow and come out of your mouth. Your mouth will reveal. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That is one of those things, the principles of life you cannot escape. If you go to Matthew 23, notice the Pharisees again. Jesus is going to give them a harsh rebuke. In Matthew 23, and you'll see this again, Matthew 23 and verse 25. Listen to this, Matthew 23 and verse 25. I have dealt with this many times. I've seen this a lot. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Now, here Jesus is giving them the same rebuke. He's saying on the outside, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these scribes, they look good on the outside. They know how to present themselves and to talk and to look in a way that they look righteous. But Jesus said on the inside, they are very wicked and evil. And he gave some illustrations. They're like graves. They're like graveyards. You go to a tomb, and the outside of the tomb is all beautiful and nice and painted, and it's just so lovely. But what's inside that grave? You've got a rotting body. It's just a rotting body inside. So the outside looks great, but on the inside, you've got death. He says exactly what it is. And there's a lot of people that are like that. There's a lot of folks that are like that. On the outside, they look good, they look right, and they want you to think that everything's okay. but on the inside, they are far from God. You know, there's so many people, I don't understand, why do people worry so much about what the preacher thinks of them? Folks are so worried about what the preacher thinks of them. You know, quit worrying about what the preacher thinks of you. Start worrying about what God thinks of you. That's the main thing. You go to the restaurant sometimes, and there's people that are drinking wine, and they want to hide their wine because they don't want the preacher to see them drinking. Why are you worried about the preacher seeing you? God sees you. Why do you worry about what the preacher thinks? Quit worrying about the preacher. Start worrying about God. You know, that's when before I got saved, I worried about what other people thought of me. But when I got saved, I didn't care what people thought of me so much anymore. I was scared to death what God thought of me. And that's a fear I carry with me every day. I'm worried about what God thinks about me. I'm worried about His opinion of me because in the end, that's all that matters is what He thinks of me. Brother and sister, none of you are going to stand before me in the judgment day. None of you are going to answer to me. But all of us will answer to Him. All that matters is what He thinks. And so we got to start worrying about what he's worried about. And so Jesus said, you know, the heart is what's so evil. The heart is what's the problem. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, I remind you of Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The most deceitful thing in this world is your heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart will lie to you. Your heart will lead you astray. Your heart will tell you all kinds of things that is not true. Your heart will tell you that you are fine, that you're right. Your heart will lie to you. You cannot trust your heart. What can you trust? The Word of God. Don't trust your heart. Your heart will tell you that if you want to go to heaven, you just got to be good enough. You got to do a lot of good things. That's a lie. Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find that being good gets you to heaven. You're not going to ever be good enough to get to heaven. No one is ever good enough to go to heaven. The only way you go to heaven is through Christ, by having your sins forgiven. You're never good enough. God tells us there's none good. No, not one. When I go back over here to Proverbs chapter 3, and I start reading some of these verses that y'all told me they're some of your favorite verses, they warn us about our heart. Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What do we not lean on? Our own understanding. Don't trust yourself. Don't trust your heart. But you got to trust the Word of God, because your heart will deceive you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, it seems like I'm okay. It seems like this is the right thing to do, but when you trust your heart, it'll lead you astray. If you even go to the book of Romans and look what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, which show the work of God, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. And that's what a lot of people do. When they look at their sins, they accuse others or they excuse themselves. And what that simply means is this. They look at themselves and what they say is, well, I'm better than that guy. They accuse others. Or they excuse themselves and say, well, what I did really wasn't that bad. It wasn't that big of a deal. Others have done worse than me. They accuse others and excuse themselves. That's what your heart will do. It will lead you astray. But the Bible says in verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Whether you accuse yourself, excuse yourself, or accuse others, it's not going to exempt you from the judgment of God. No matter however your heart deceives you. In fact, in Galatians 6:7, the Bible even says this, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, though your heart is deceitful above all things, Galatians says, don't be deceived. Don't let your heart fool you. No, you can't trust your heart. Your heart's a liar. Your heart will deceive you. Everyone's heart is that way. You can't trust your heart. So, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. So let's come back to it. Your mouth will reveal what is in your heart. Matthew 15:16. Verse 17, do not ye understand that whatsoever entereth in the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. What is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. If your heart is full of covetousness, what's going to come out of your mouth? I want this. I want this. I want that. I want one of these. I want that. A person that's full of covetousness is never thankful. They're always unthankful. And they always want more. They're always wanting. Always talking about things they want. Is your heart full of covetousness? A person that's heart is full of anger, what are they always going to be doing? Their words are going to be full of anger. If you're angry at somebody, you're always going to talk about that person with angry words. If your heart is angry towards a soul, you're always going to bring them up with an angry tone. Always. If your heart is bitter towards somebody, you'll never be able to bring up that person without having bitter words towards them. If your heart is full of fornication and adultery and lust, you're going to find yourself always talking about perverse things. And your mind and your words will always gravitate towards those kind of things because that's what's in your heart. That's what the Bible's telling you. If your heart is full of wickedness, you're going to talk about things you ought not talk about. And by the way, church, what about profanity? What about saying words you ought not say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Should God's people use profanity? Should God's people curse? We get angry, we get mad. Things don't go our way. We lose our temper. We say things we shouldn't say. We hold it back. We fight it a lot of times, but finally it comes out. We say things we shouldn't say. Is that right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When we say things we shouldn't say and we use profanity, it shows us there's something in our heart that should not be there. That's the honest truth. Now, I know a lot of people think it's not a big deal to use profanity, but I'm going to tell you, church, it is a big deal before God. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And I want to encourage you, church. I'm going to encourage you. I know we all struggle with things. We all struggle with things, but that's something we've got to deal with. And if you struggle with that, if you struggle with that, that's something you ought to talk to the Lord about. Pray and surrender that and talk to Christ to help you with that. He can help you. And I'm going to tell you from experience, He's helped me with it. Because I used to talk like a sailor. Not talk. If y'all were sailors before, I hope you don't talk that way. And I don't want to talk bad about sailors. I'm not saying sailors do or truck drivers. But I tell you what, I could hold the best with any of them. Okay? And I know my wife never heard me say a bad word. And it's hard. It's hard. Some people imagine I could, but I could. When I was a younger guy, I didn't know any other words hardly. Okay, people thought I spoke French fluently, but that's just how I was. Okay, and I tried to stop. I tried to quit speaking that way. I couldn't. Not until I got saved. And when I got saved, God took that from me. That's one thing God did for me. That is not something I struggle with. Okay. But I know others do. Now, I don't think less of anyone that does struggle with it because that's just something I don't. I struggle with a lot of other things. But that's something God helped me with. But I do know this. If God helped me with it, I know He can help you with it. I know He can help you with that too. Out of the heart, though, what comes out of our heart is going to come. What's in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. So it's something we gotta work on. Now, let's finish up the message this morning. I'm going to try to get you out of here before 12:30. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Now you tell me how serious our words are. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's a serious words. James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire that a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And as I finish this morning, just you'll notice what James is saying here is, you and I will come to church and we'll come up here and we'll sing praises to God. And then we'll go home and talk bad about people that are made in the very image of the God we're singing praises to. That's what he's saying. And James says, how can that be? How can we sing praises to God and then talk bad about people made in his image? That's what we do. First Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says this. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Titus chapter 3, while I'm here, James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto men. So how many people am I allowed to speak bad about, according to Titus chapter 3 and verse 2? Well, to speak evil of no man. What about women? Well, under this context, they all fall under the mankind. Sorry. To speak evil of no man. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For we were as sheep going astray, but now ye are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So who is our example? Christ himself. And he was done wrong, and he was mistreated. He never retaliated, never threatened back, never spoke evil back. He's the example that we need to follow. You know, Jesus said this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John 8:36. And if you struggle with this, Jesus can make you free. You need to bring it to him. So the things that we want to come out of our heart is not evil and wickedness. But we want the things that, like Galatians chapter 5 says, where the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, a good tree bringeth forth good fruit. And if your heart's full of the love of God and His forgiveness and His mercy, those are the things you want coming out of your mouth. It's how good God is, how grateful you are to God, sharing the goodness of the Lord with others. Those are the things that we want to come out of our mouth. But remember what Jesus said. There's only two kinds of trees. And a tree is always known by the fruit it bears. We have to examine ourselves. What kind of fruit do we possess? What are we producing? How do we speak to our kids? How do we speak to our spouse? How do we speak to our co-workers? It's very important. Let's stand together.